Isaiah 48 has the fourth element of God's verification through his prophetic signature. And this is what he says in Isaiah 48, verses 3 through 5. He said, "Only trust the words from the God who does all that he says." Because, you know, everybody can partially predict things. I said this to you last time. I mean, I can predict a senator is going to win the election this fall. See? Partial, anybody can predict, and it comes true. But it's the one who, the God who does all he says, and everything he says comes true. That's the true God. Now look at 48, verse 3. "I have declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth from my mouth, and I caused them to hear it." Now look at this. "Suddenly I did them, and they came to pass. All that I said..." Right down to the scraping of the dust with Tyre. Right down to the city that Jesus Christ was born, as in the prophecies of his birth. Right down to the dispersion of the children of Israel all over the world, just like he said from Moses that would happen if they went to idols. God says, "I'm going to scatter you to the furthest corners of the earth, and that you will always be out there and never cease to exist." And everything he says, and there are thousands of prophecies, they all exactly come true. Just as he says in verse 4, "I did them, and they came to pass." Verse 5, "Even from the beginning I have declared it to you. Before it came to pass, I proclaimed it to you, lest you should say, 'My idol has done them, and my carved image and my molded image have commanded them.'" Do you see this tension? This is God debating against the idols and saying, "Listen to me, prophecy is my signature." Now, turn to verse 17 of Isaiah 48. This is the ending. Isaiah 48, 17 and 18 is the final element of God's verification through his prophetic signature. And what God says, "Only trust the book from the God who determines your eternal destiny." That's what he says. He says, trust the one that's reliable, trust the one that does everything he says, trust the one that describes himself, and trust the one who does all that he has said accurately and reveals the future. But there's one more element. Trust the words from the God who alone can determine your eternal destiny. Look at verse 17. "He is our Redeemer. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. He is our teacher," verse 17. "I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit." He's the only one that can tell us how to live. He can teach us the way. Verse 17, he doesn't just teach us, at the end of verse 17, "who leads you by the way you should go." He is our leader. This God that determines our destiny not only bought us redemption and teaches us his will and his way and his desires for us, but he leads us. That's why he wants to hold our hand. You know, you go to some big amusement park or something, and when kids are little, you hold their hands because you don't want them to get swept away by the crowd. And God says, "You're going to be swept away. The world is just like a fast, swollen river, and it's flowing the wrong direction. And you're going to get carried along with it if you don't let me lead you. And I lead you by holding your hands. And you walk through life with me." It's just the most wonderful life to know that God is holding your hand and leading. And then he says this, verse 18, "Oh, that you had heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea." And then drop down to verse 22. "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." Did you know that the wicked are like the restless sea? Did you know that when we don't allow God to lead in our lives, when we don't allow him to teach us, when we don't acknowledge him as our Redeemer who owns us, did you know we're restless? We don't have peace. "Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. The work of righteousness is peace, and the effects of righteousness are quietness and assurance forever." He says, "I'm the one that determines your eternal destiny. I'm your Redeemer. I'm the peace giver. Your peace would be like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea." So the great and mighty God, who has proven himself real, reliable, and trustworthy, offers eternal peace. It is he who declares to us exactly what lies ahead in the future. Now, how should we respond to that? So far, all this is just a lecture of facts. The Bible says don't merely be hearers of the word, but what? Doers. And that's what communion's all about. Communion is a time when we declare our allegiance, that we will hear and do, that we will respond and obey. Let me just give you a few, and I'll tell you a little secret. I guess I've developed this habit over the years. I know that I will never give you everything that I spent the entire week preparing, but I have the comfort of knowing that every word that I've already said and everything else I was going to say by Monday will be posted online, and any of you can just read the rest if you want it. But let me just give you, because I wrote down how to apply this, and if this wasn't Communion Sunday, I would go through every one of them, but let me just share with you, how would we apply this? How about this concept of God as our Creator? God made you and me just like we are to do what no one else can do. We are special, precious children. God says, trust me and follow me and worship me. So how do we respond to that? We covered that a few minutes ago. From our hearts, from our spirits, from the innermost, the real us, we need to say something like this back to God. I will trust you. I will follow you. I will allow you from this moment forward to remind me I need to reach up and hold your hand because the river's going by so fast and it's pulling me the wrong direction that I need to hold your hand. You know what? If we forget to do that, do you know what God does? He comes up to us and he goes, poof. Yeah, that's why. Think about it. We pay a lot more attention when we're not sure about the medical test. We pay a lot more attention when we're not sure about our job, when we're not sure about whatever. Oh, Lord. He says, why don't you just decide this morning that I don't need to bump your bassinet, that you'll just hold my hand because you love me and you want to let me take you through life. So that's just one example of what we can do this morning. So what we're going to do, think about that one point of letting the Lord lead you and guide you and be as your Creator, the one that designed you. Let Him deploy you to do what He wants. Think about that. Let's bow our heads before the Lord. And as you bow your heads, the elders and deacons are going to come and prepare the Lord's Supper for us. And we're going to celebrate it. Maybe not the normal way you do it, but it's the only way I know how to do it. And we're going to do that. But you just prepare your hearts and reach out right now with your head bowed and eyes closed and take a hold of that hand that's extended out to you. And in just a moment, I'll pray, and we'll begin celebrating the Lord's Supper.